From 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So far, our text. You know, I think I wanted to begin this morning to talk about this sun here. Well, I know it's the weekend, so you guys don't want to think about this, but many of you don't have to worry about it anymore. I want to talk about work and jobs. There's something about work that comes with certain responsibilities, certain burdens, and then certain relationships that you deal with. So if you held a job as a lawyer, you're expected to hold on to these responsibilities and burdens and relationships. You're expected to know the law of the land. You offer legal advice and counsel. You are part of legal negotiations, but you also carry the burdens of other legal problems for others, for your clients. But you also have those relationships with the clients, with the prosecutor, with the judge, different from each other. But if you don't fulfill those roles, if you don't help with legal problems, if you don't help your client, you won't be a good lawyer. And then you won't be a lawyer for much longer. The same is true for all professions, for doctors and nurses. They heal people. They're supposed to take care of people. That's their responsibility. But they also have burdens, taking the burden of someone else's health, whether by willful neglect or by the surprise circumstances of life. But if they don't maintain those things, if they don't fulfill those responsibilities, they won't be a doctor or a nurse for long. Same is true of teachers. Teachers educate and raise children to learn math, science, history, reading, but they also have burdens. They have to deal with difficult children, maybe difficult parents. And they have to maintain the relationships and boundaries with children and parents and there are other people they work with. But if you don't do those things, if you stop educating, if you stop maintaining, if you infringe on relationships, then you're not going to be a teacher for long. There are certain responsibilities, burdens, and relationships that come with this. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you won't be a good lawyer, a good doctor, a good teacher, and you won't be those things for long. But thankfully, in our society, we kind of have a nice setup where if you don't like doing what you're doing, if you don't like these kind of jobs, if you decided this is not what you wanted to do, you get tired of it, you kind of can move on to something else. You can get educated somewhere else and pursue something that's more in line with your interests, more in line with what you want to do. And so we're very thankful and grateful for that kind of opportunity we can have here. But a lot of you know that there are some jobs, in some places we have to do work, that aren't things we can pick. They're not so easy to get out of. And some would say that parenting is a job itself, something that we just don't able to get out of, and people will put a positive spin and say it's a joyful work, or it's not even work at all. But we all know that parenting does come with certain types of responsibilities, certain types of burdens, and definitely relationships with others. You have to make sure, as a parent, that you feed and raise your children. You have to make sure that they're taken care of, that they can grow into some functioning sort of adult. But yet, parenting is not something you can quit. You can't really stop being a parent. And as many of you know, with grown children, it seems to keep going. But if you don't fulfill the things you're supposed to do as a parent, if you don't raise your children, if you leave them, if you stop instructing them, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, well, then you're not being a good parent. And sometimes in those ways, you might find that it won't be long until you're no longer seen as a parent. John, in his first letter, is talking about a separate job. One with its own responsibilities, its own burdens and relationships. He's talking about children, though. Well, he's talking about children of God. He's writing to the people, well, the people John is writing to, he is encouraging them as children of God. John would say that they are children of God by the gracious gift of the Father, and that in this reality, as God's child, God's children, there are certain responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. What the author seems to be saying is they are part of God's family. And that's the whole driving theme of the entire letter of John, is that these Christians are the children of God, and that they are brought into this family as part of this body of Jesus Christ with responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. And how they are part of this body, as we read, it's whoever purifies hope, whoever has purified hope in Jesus Christ, or Christ purifies himself in them with hope. And whoever practices righteousness is righteous, big church word. And whoever does the right thing, the will of the Father, they're in the right. They're being children of God. Also in these seven short verses, John does describe for us what makes people not children of God. What makes them bad children. A person who is not a child of God is one who simply practices sinning. Anyone who practices lawlessness. Because no one who abides in him, Jesus, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And so anyone who keeps on sinning neither is seen Jesus or is known by him. And it's very similar to what Christ would say in the Gospels, that through him, through Christ, you see the Father. Well, John tells us that as God's children, through God's children, others seek Jesus Christ. And so, children of God, do righteous things. And children of sin, do sinful things. Children of God do God things. Children of sin do their own thing. And living in sin, as John puts it, is living without the Spirit. And living without faith. And when sin does whatever it wants, the Holy Spirit and faith are never there. Because sin is never innocent. And sin is never the victim. But there's that church word that's used, righteousness, which simply just means doing the right thing according to God's will, to be good, to strive for the truth. And that is never a matter of indifference. God's will, God's righteousness, striving for the truth is expressed in one way. Love. And not the kind of love that lets wrongdoing continue or tolerates evil, but it's the kind of love that seeks to care and correct for the betterment of one another. And the problem, well, we're all pretty well aware of, those of us who have grown up in the church, that we can't live for God's will. We can't seem to do the right thing. And the worst part is, the problem is it's not that we can't do the right thing. It's not that we can't do these things. The real problem is that we don't even want to. We don't even want to love. We don't even want to be a child of God. At least that's not something we would say. Well, I would never say I don't want to be a child of God. I would never say that. But my actions can certainly give the impression. Just like a lawyer, a doctor, or a teacher, if we don't act like who we are, then maybe we're not going to be in that position for long. As John says, no one who abides in Christ keeps on sinning. A child of God does what a child of God should do, and that is to do the will of the Father. To show love to those around us in various responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. And to do the will of the Father is to perform our responsibilities with joy and love for our neighbor, to take on one another's burdens, to grow and reconcile our relationships. To be a child of God is to sacrifice what I want so that I can give for someone else's needs. A husband would sacrifice his own desires in order to love his wife's interests. To carry one another's burdens is for Christian brothers and sisters to come around and support fellow Christian who is on hard times, single parent, raising children alone, the widow or widower who has no one to be with. And to maintain relationships means, as a child of God, you might have to let go of that grudge that keeps you from being at peace with your faithful friend. I fear sometimes that we take this fact that by God's grace we are children of God, that we decide that all the other stuff no longer matters. Because it's not by my works that I'm saved. It's not by my works that I'm a child, God's child. But then we have to face John and what he has to say about that. And what John says is that children of God do good. They act righteously. They act like children of God. And righteousness is not just doing for the sake of doing. Righteousness is upholding the truth for the sake of the truth, for the sake of God's will, for Jesus Christ. And yet we get trapped in thinking, well, I'll do this thing when it's convenient, when I feel it, or when the Spirit moves me. But that's not a child of God. Yes, we do need God's grace. And we need God's free gift of Jesus Christ. Even though God's grace is free to you, it's still incredibly expensive. It came with a high price. Grace claimed Jesus Christ's life to give it. And this free gift of grace from God happened because he sent his Son into this broken world to restore it and to renew it, to bring it back to the Father. And it was expensive for God because the people that Christ came to save rejected and killed him on the cross. It cost God his one and only Son. Yet with the crucifixion, he destroyed the power of sin, the power of death and the devil, and the power that makes us not even want to be children of God. Jesus puts it to death, yet he doesn't stop there. In his resurrection, he not only shows that he is the Son of God, but he begins to restore and renew the creation and bring about new life. In the resurrection, something new begins to manifest itself. And that's the will of the Father, the will of God, that permeates through his children. And that is love. The same is true for all of you. Not only did God's grace claim Christ's life, but it does demand your life as you receive it. Your lives are no longer your own because in your baptism, your life was given up to God so that in his Son, you become children of God. The purpose of Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is to offer forgiveness of sins, but it also gives you new life. You are the resurrected people of God, the children of God. And a child of God, you are in Christ, transformed and created into someone new. And the Lord creates his people to be his children, and through his people fulfills his will. You are free to be children of God, freed from the curse and condemnation of God's law, and you're freed of the necessity of making ourselves right before God. You're free so that you can now take on your responsibilities, your burdens, and your relationships, and follow through on God's will and purpose. The simple message here, the good news, is that in Jesus Christ, you are God's children. Now, there is a challenge for you to act like God's children. And with that doesn't just come freedom from cares of the world or freedom from responsibility. It's a freedom from the power of sin and death. Children of God, while redeemed, saved, and made right before God, learn to take on this message with joy. And children of God, carry responsibilities in the various walks of life that the Lord has led you. You see, the thing about jobs and work, like a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, and all these different professions, they earn those positions of authority and power because of their training, their intellect, and willingness to perform the job. They're bound to their actions and work because they need to perform well in those fields to keep their status and to keep their job. The thing about parents is they don't earn their position because it is something simply given to them when a child is born. But even then, it can be snatched away if they don't perform or take up those responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. And when that happens, sometimes it can never be recovered. But for you, you are the children of God. And you have been given an expensive gift, which is the life and light of Christ. A gift given not based on your worth or your expertise. A gift not based on who you once were or who you are today. It's a gift not premised on your training or intellect or willingness to perform. It's a gift that you didn't have much decision over or earned. It's a gift that is not easily lost. It simply is a gift out of God's love for you. And it's shown through His Son, Jesus Christ. You are children of God because God in Jesus Christ has claimed you as His child. With that, you are free to go and carry on your responsibilities, to carry one another's burdens and form relationships and assurances of joy, to love the family member who might make holidays difficult, to do the responsibilities of our vocations and callings that the Lord has given you to do. To be a child of God is not something you gain from your performance, and it's not something easily lost by lack of performing. You are baptized to be a child of God, purified in the hope that you have. You are made right by faith in the Son of God, and you are renewed and recreated to be His child, to be God's child. That is what it means to be a child of God, to be claimed by, depend on, and renewed by Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.